Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, let's get into it. 11 o'clock hour, Thursday edition of the show. We will have Brooke Smith in about 15 minutes. His horse, Sierra Leone, will be one of the favorites in the Kentucky Derby next Saturday. And, of course, Jay Davis will join us from the draft in Detroit later in the show as well. Busy show getting you into Friday. Of course, you can check us out today on the Horse Racing Happy Hour, our annual Derby draft. If not our most popular, it's our second most popular episode of the year. Our show, by the way, takes itself on the road on this coming Tuesday, 7 o'clock, over at Blind Squirrel. Totally free to get in. Come hang out with us. I will hand you a handout. How about that? And you can try a cigar with your guy, Louis, as well. Get in with us at Blind Squirrel on Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
Can I come have a cigar?
You may. How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
I would have had a cigar.
So there you go. You can hear Zach's voice Wednesday morning next week.
Yes, okay. You can.
So there you go. Have you made a decision Monday through Wednesday which day you're coming to the backside with us?
I haven't decided. I was going to say all of them, but...
Okay. Oh, good. Okay, there you go. Got to find somebody to do this for sure. What are your plans on which days? I know at least Saturday you're going to be out there with us doing the damn thing.
Uh-huh.
Doing Derby.
Oh, I'm going to the Derby.
We're doing that.
Absolutely.
100%.
No doubt.
Are you willing to be a team player and be the Oaks producer on Friday?
I probably would be.
Attaboy, there we go.
Let's go. I want to be out there.
You know what's funny? There's media awards for freaking everything, whatever, right? And the times we get nominated are on the shows that I don't think we're going to get nominated for. So we got a nomination for a Black Eyed Susan show. That's the Oaks before the Preakness Day. We got like for that, and then so just random things that we've done over the years. But you know, so I always tell people like, just get in on Oaks Day. You never know who's going to be a guest or what's going to happen in 322 essentially out at Churchill. Just get in and be on there, because when you get nominated, guess who also is part of that. The producer. Yeah. So it's just kind of...
Well, I met Travis Kelce there last year.
How about that?
That was before the whole Taylor Swift thing.
Before the unpleasantness.
Yeah. No, this is right after he hosted Saturday Night Live and after he won another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good old... I met Warren Moon, too.
What just happened? Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah, never mind.
What happened?
Nothing. Anyways, we will get into all of that next week. 3 hours on Friday, 3 hours on Saturday, 10 to 1 on Friday, and 11 to 2 on Saturday. So make sure you get in for all of that.
I'm actually going to dress up for once. How about that? You're going to see me in a suit on Saturday.
Got it. You're going to dress up for that. There we go. Well, that's good.
I might even trim a little bit. You know, Manscaped.
A little Manscaped.
Partners. Yeah, how about that?
Promo code Horse Racing. Get in.
That's
there you
it.
Go. There you go. Brooke Smith at 11:20. We'll make sure we talk with him. Today we'll have Travis Stone, track announcer at Churchill Downs, Caitlin Free from over there in the paddock, and of course Steve Kornacki from NBC, the big board over there, political historian, if you will, big fan of horse racing. We'll have him as part of our panel. 4 o'clock today on the Horse Racing Happy Hour. You can listen to that anytime that you want to. Yeah. All right, so there you go. All right, well, NFL draft tonight, so we get back into some of those headlines as well. We went through the big board recently, and we went over the best players available. Is there anyone in this draft, Zach? Let's go ahead and do the corny things. Is there someone kind of off the board that you think is going to be a good NFL player that might either go like first, like late today or part of the show tomorrow?
I like A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, both receivers out of Texas. I think those guys are going to be pretty solid. I think Cade Stover, the tight end from Ohio State, he's a very good receiver after the catch. I think he's going to be a solid third-round pick or so. as far as tonight's concerned, I mean, I think we all know that it's very deep in receiver. It's very deep in offensive line. I'm interested to see if there's any running backs taken tonight, and I'm not sure there will be, because we've devalued running backs so greatly, because now you want multiple guys. Look at the Chiefs the last couple of years. Isaiah Pacheco is their leading rusher, and he's rushed for less than 1,000 yards in both seasons, and they've won the Super Bowl. So we've kind of devalued that position. I think Cooper DeJean, all jokes aside, I think is going to be a very good NFL corner.
Yeah, right. All of the other questions set aside.
No, he's a great cover guy. He's a return guy. He'll do a little bit of everything. He's going to have a nice 9 to 10 year career, at least.
So let's just go real quick. The top five picks are likely to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Then you get Drake May. And then who knows after that, essentially, right?
I think the Cardinals is pretty locked into Marvin Harrison.
So let's do that. Let's just assume it's him.
Yeah.
Who do you think goes fifth, then?
I think it's going to be McCarthy.
Okay. So let's go with those top five. Let's go ahead and try to project out how we think they're going to do, including where they land and how they're going to be as prospects, okay? So the draft order, obviously, the Bears are number one, and I'm not at all sure that that's a good thing for a Caleb Williams. Can Caleb Williams overcome playing for the Bears?
Yeah, that's the thing, because the Bears have never had good quarterbacks throughout their history except for Jim McMahon in the 80s. I mean, their leading all-time passer is Jay Cutler, and Jay Cutler was a decent quarterback, right, but nothing special. Yeah, that's the thing, I think. If it was a different organization, I think people would be more in on Caleb Williams, but people are, you know, they have PTSD from the Bears situation. But I also compare it to, like I said yesterday, a lot of people have said Ohio State quarterback sucked, and then C.J. Stroud came along, and C.J. Stroud was pretty damn good last year. So maybe Caleb Williams overcomes the Bears' history. I think he can do it.
Texter saying they think Cooper DeJean will be a corner for a couple of years, then transition to safety. Do you see him doing that in the NFL?
That could happen.
Yeah. He's got the speed to play corner, though.
Yes, he does.
He really does.
I think he'll stay at corner. I think he's got the speed to stay there, and he's a good return guy. Yeah. He's fast, no doubt.
Then to the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, is that a good fit? I'm terrified for that kid. Now, the hope is he's the C.J. Stroud for them, right? That's the hope. Frankly, similar build, similar styles of throwing the ball, right? Those kinds of things.
Stroud's a much more polished passer.
I agree with that. Similar style. Stroud's a better player, but if you're Washington, you're hoping he's that guy.
Yeah, no, that's your hope, is that he turns into C.J. Stroud. He's a better runner than Stroud, but Jaden Daniels, every time he gets hit, it seems like he's in a car wreck, because he doesn't get hit. He gets hit hard, but, I mean, he's another guy who's 24 years old. You wonder, is he a little old to be coming into the league? And, I mean, I just never trust Washington quarterbacks, because Washington's been a dumpster fire for the last 30 years.
After that, of course, the third spot is the Patriots. And look, they have a texture awful rich of a Lions fan to poo-poo the Bears' historical success. Oh, no. Whoa. I thought I'd been very clear about how much I love-hate the Lions. I thought we'd done that for sure. No, but it just feels like the Bears should have more success in their history, does it not? I mean, it just...
You would think. They only have the one.
City in this country. Oldest rivalry in the NFL with the Packers. Like, the team in Green Bay has a better history than the one in Chicago. That shouldn't be true. But it just shouldn't be true.
The Bears have two Super Bowl appearances and one win. It should be a lot more than that.
Texter, if you listen to the ABCTE ESPN Twitter account, Herbert may get traded out of for Harbaugh to draft JJ. Oh, Lord.
No, they're not going to do that.
Lord.
They can't do that for contract reasons.
Yeah, no.
They just paid Justin Herbert one of the biggest contracts in NFL history last year. There's no way in hell they're going to do that.
Plus, if you hire Harbaugh, you hire him to coach him.
Correct.
Period. That's what
you're
doing. Because, anyways, the lifespan of all these things in the NFL is way too short. What do the Patriots do here? Do you trust them to go get a quarterback and develop him now that Belichick's gone?
I don't know if I trust them to develop him, but I think they're going to pick Drake May. I'd be shocked if they don't. If they pick J.J. McCarthy, then that just shows that the Patriots are an unserious franchise and they're going to be a mess for the next 10 years. But I expect them to pick Drake May. But as I've said before, if I were the Patriots, I would consider drafting Marvin Harrison, number three, because they need a wide receiver badly, and then maybe trading down and getting Penix or Bo Nix or somebody along those lines.
That's a great image on the text line. I appreciate you.
I do not want the Patriots to pick Marvin Harrison, by the way, as a Colts fan. I can't have his son playing for the Patriots.
Do you make anything of the rumors that the Colts are trading just to have a Harrison on the team again?
I hope they do. I want to trade up. Can we trade up and get the fourth pick and get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
So they have the 15th, and then is their next pick in the second round?
I think so.
Let me...
I don't think they have another first
round. Did not work. There we go. Hang on. Indy. Sorry. There they are. Their picks are 15th, 14th in the second round, 18th in the third round. They have one pick in each draft.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
essentially in their normal spot. I
would absolutely trade up and get Marvin. We got Michael Pittman already. If you get those two receivers with Anthony Richardson, that's fun offense.
Texter, come on about the Bears. We remember when they thrilled the nation with their T formation.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Let them off the hook. It is funny. Is it not funny that it was Rex Grossman that almost took them to the promised land? Like, that's funny, right?
Oh, I...
That's funny, right?
Yes. As a Colts fan, I love facing Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl.
That guy got them to a Super Bowl.
He got them to a Super Bowl. It's like Jimmy Garoppolo taking the 49ers.
What was the coach's name? Oh,
Lovie
God.
Smith.
Thank you, Lovie. I had Tubby in my head, of course. We've been talking UK coaches for 3 weeks. Man, oh, man, Lovie.
The Dungy and Lovie.
The Patriots are going to take Ladd McConkey at 3.
Yeah, they will.
Be great. Oh, man.
He fits the profile.
T-formation.
T-formation. That's the last time the Bears are great. Did you see their stadium? The proposed stadium?
Say it again.
The Bears' proposed stadium?
Yeah.
They're going to have Super Bowls and Final Fours and everything. They're probably going to get the Big Ten championship game.
And I mean this without... I'm not saying one came before. I'm not doing the chicken egg thing, but... It looks a lot like a souped-up version of what they're going to build in Tennessee.
Yeah.
It looks like the Nashville Stadium times 1.5, essentially. No, I mean, it really does.
Well, it should be. It's Chicago.
For that weather, you have to.
Yes.
You really do. I think people, you know, it's not the Windy City. It's like 70. It's cold.
It's the Windy City.
It's cold. It's okay to say it's cold. It hits different in the winter there. Go to Evanston sometime. Go to Northwestern in December. And just walk onto Lake Michigan. Just walk onto it. Giant body of water across which you cannot see. Go ahead and walk onto it because you can. There's like a foot of ice.
I've heard Chicago weather is brutal 8 months a year. And then the summer,
there's
great.
2 months of summer that are, they're different.
Yeah.
Well, people around here too, I've noticed, because I get pinged on these all the time, is if hang on, Brooks texts me. I am calling you. You know, let's call Brooke right now. Go ahead and take a break right now. If he's ready to go, let's just call him. Brooke Smith up next. He owns Sierra Leone. We're going to get him in here on the show here, Rabeau & Co. ESPN 680, 105.7.
ESPN 680 1057. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
All right, welcome back in. 11 o'clock hour of the show here on a Thursday edition of Rabeau & Co. ESPN 680 1057. Ones and twos. His name is Zach Cantrell. I'm Louis Rabeau. We're really happy to welcome in Brooke Smith. He's part of the ownership group, of course, of Sierra Leone, the horse atop the Kentucky Derby points rankings. Just that intro. How does that make you feel? Good morning.
Louie, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's it like having the horse at the top of the Derby rankings? I don't know a better way to ask that question.
I mean, like I said, you can ask that question 100 times, you get 100 different answers. The general gist of it is it's a lot, in a good way. Tough to keep your mind off anything else. I mean, hell, I went and got a chipping lesson just to try to kill an hour. And Lord knows anybody that plays golf with me, I need it. But if you need your yard mulched or like a garage cleaned out, I'm your guy because I'm going to stay busy between now and week from Saturday.
Brooke Smith joins us here on Rabeau & Co. ESPN 680 1057. Reminder, we'll be out there next Friday and Saturday, 10 to 1 on Friday, 11 to 2 on Saturday, doing 6 hours of coverage around Oaks and Derby. Look, the bluegrass happens, right? And so obviously this is a horse that comes off the layoff. He runs in that Remsen, which is... turned out to be an incredible predictor of success for three-year-olds this year. You've got Door Knock comes back, wins off the bench. You've got Domestic Product, frankly, ran seventh in that race, came back, won the Tampa Bay Derby. Your horse wins the Risen Star in the dark in the slop in Louisiana, comes up on Perfect Day at Keeneland and wins the Bluegrass. Man, did you know something when that Remsen happened? Because I got to say, it's the only thing I've been right about in horse racing in a minute was, boy, I'm really going to watch this Sierra Leone horse the next couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with the Derby every year, as it passes, you get through the Triple Crown races and maybe into the summer, you know, it's always so clear when you look back. And I think that the Remsen might be, you know, depending on how Sierra Leone pans out, could be, you know, one of the greatest seconds, you know, of any two-year-old in history. I mean, that's a big thing to say because we got a lot of ground to cover, and you know, but you know, I've watched enough races. I don't care if it's a cheaper claiming race or an allowance race, but to have a horse come from that far behind in the slop, I don't know. I think quite honestly, that was his best race. Obviously, he's green then. But he's, you know, he'll definitely make your heart drop or your stomach sink with his running style. That's for sure.
Yeah, we've seen horses come from off the pace and win the Kentucky Derby. His ability to go 7-8 wide, he's done it over and over and over again. He seems to like to try to get back to the rail when he can and scoot left. But that ability to get outside and run deeper, I mean, look, in a field like the Bluegrass, right, where you've got, you know, 10 horses essentially, you can drop tonight and you can make that move. Is there any talk with Tyler, with any of the connections, about trying to run a slightly different race with him?
You know, I've been afraid to ask that question. I'm certainly not
above your pay grade. Eh?
Yeah, right. And that's the one thing we all need to realize. And I'm actually not going to give any advice. I think you maybe I guess hopefully, and Chad and Tyler, and I'm sure they'll figure this out. But if he could get an outside post and then kind of raid in more towards the middle, I think that would make a lot of us happy. And then kind of use the back stretch to move up and be laying in the mix just off the pace, you know, maybe 5 lengths, 4 lengths, however long behind. But, yeah, I mean, the Derby, and when you come up with a plan in the Derby with 20 horses, the plan can go out the window at the break or you know, in the first turn. So, you know, here's the one thing about him. He loves to race. He loves to train. And in talking to Tyler and Chad, you know, they both say there's more under the hood. So that's all good. I agree with you. If you're coming from the clouds and you're, you know, 7-8 wide,
right,
and a horse like Fierceness or whoever has kind of had an easy way of it, you're going to have your work cut out for you.
Brooke Smith with us. He's part of the ownership group for Sierra Leone. Son of Gunrunner. How did you name this horse?
You know, I've been asked that, and I haven't got a straight answer from anybody. I did not name the horse.
Okay.
I've done a lot of research on Sierra Leone as a country,
yeah,
which is interesting. There's got to be some connection that relates to someone that's either been there or some historical relevance. I do know that the Coolmore folks have kind of a battery of names, and they just really like that name. I don't know the origins of it, but it has a great ring to it, except that, you know, I've been called on several occasions referring to he as a she just because of Sierra Leone, the Sierra, I guess, there. So, yeah, I can't give you a solid answer. I'll research that, and if we run each other to the backside, I'll give you an update.
Derby week, obviously, I know what I'm going to be doing, which is exactly what I'm doing right now, talking on the radio. You've talked about coming to my house and cleaning out the garage, which my wife would really appreciate. What do you think? How are you going to spend your Derby week?
Well, you know, I was going to I thought about kind of tucking in a business trip Monday, Tuesday.
Good
but
idea.
As I started thinking about it, I thought, no, that doesn't make any sense. And I didn't know I was going to be going to the backside every day this week, but I have been just because why not? It's just amazing. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on Derby week in general. And then as it relates to the Derby, I mean, there's a trainer's dinner, you know, on Tuesday. There's supposedly some kind of a poker, charity poker thing that's getting brewed up by this guy Stewart. And so I might jump in that action. I don't know. And then people start rolling into town. And
oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to be talking to you, and you're going to be looking at them, but I don't know that you're going to hear what they have to say.
But one of my favorite things to see is, you know, picking up a friend from the airport for the Derby or whatever, and there's Chad Brown picking up an owner. Like, you know,
yes.
The job doesn't just stop at the track. You know, Brooke,
no.
You know, something I always like to bring up, and the HBPA presents all of my horse racing coverage here, especially on Fridays, as we get into the stakes races usually around the country on Saturdays, is every time I get out there, you know, in 3 days, on Monday, when I get out there, I'm always reminded of the fact that within the walls of a place like Churchill Downs, there's an entire city, right? And you know, of people
yep.
working and a culture that's back there and people, you know, that have built up their entire lives around this. You know, I think of like the Foley family and those sorts of folks, where it's just multi-generation, sure, those kinds of things. Do you ever get tired of that? Or does it feel good, especially as an owner, to know that you're contributing to that culture?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. That culture is everything. And you can see it in the way a guy like Chad Brown runs his operation. I mean, everybody that's there cares about it, clearly. Yep. And they all know what they're doing. There's not a whole lot of conversation around his barn. I mean, it's structured, yeah, it's organized. And that's good for the horses, too. I mean, they got to have that routine, and that keeps that consistency. I mean, if somebody's rushing to get, you know, the feed in the bin, and it doesn't happen with any kind of regularity. But, yeah, back to just, you know, being a Louisvillian and having a part of this story is mind-blowing. And the community is where it all starts. You know, I like to get out there in time to grab a burrito, or I'll be at Wagner's being the first guy, you know, firing down a vegetable beef soup. So that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, whether you have a horse in any race, let alone the Derby, just as a racing fan, it's the soul of it. The smells, the noises, how the sun comes up. It's unbeatable.
It's untouchable. We're doing a Derby seminar on Tuesday at Blind Squirrel at 7 o'clock. If you want to get away and have a beer, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, where's that?
Blind Squirrel, out East End, just inside the Snyder, right off Shelbyville Road.
Yeah, no, I love all this stuff, and I'm going to keep my dance card full. I can't promise what'll come out of my mouth, but I'm sure I'll say something, and I'll you know, somebody will say, that guy's a jackass, or I don't know. But anyway.
Well, the good thing is the horses can't read the bulletin board material, so you're good to go.
Yes, thank God. Again, let the professionals do what they do. But yeah, remind me of that. I may show up and have a brew.
There you go. Our mutual friend, Justin, and we'll have to drag him out there too.
Smith, yeah. This is great. I mean, the work that you guys do in covering this type of stuff, that's actually where we all get our juice and excitement from, is because you know what you're talking about, and you know, you get into the detail. So, you know, I'm going to be absorbing as much of that as I can consume.
I love it. No, we love doing it. And I am reminded every time this year of Billy Reid essentially establishing, yep, covering the Derby, and that none of us get to do what we get to do if not for Billy Reid. And frankly, I mean, guys like Darren Rogers and Kevin Kirstein, those guys, like, they have jobs because of guys like Billy Reid really pushing this as a national thing that it is. And look, I mean, let's go ahead and dream. You know, Sierra Leone comes around the turn. He's in 7th, 8th place. He's got a great spot. Maybe he does the, you know, the route that Orb took in 2013. I think that's his most likely type of run to win the Kentucky Derby, is that kind of setup. Yep. Man, you're in the winner's circle. What is that like? What's it like, man?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not a guy that'll tear up, but I can tell you right now, it will be definitely an overwhelming of emotion just to look at the crowd. I mean, I'm going to try to keep myself from, like, stage diving into one of the boxes on the front row or grabbing the trophy and running down the track because, you know, it's incredible. I'll probably look at the faces of everybody else, and, you know, it might be one of these moments. Instead of screaming and yelling and doing backflips, that you just all of a sudden you just get quiet and reverent about what just happened. Mm.
Horse racing is a sport with many men with beautiful silver hair. Bob Baffert, Todd Pletcher, Safi Joseph Jr. is sliding into that that category now. Obviously, Steve Asmussen. You fall, yep, beautifully into this spot. Where do you think you rank in the top hair amongst men in horse racing?
Ah, this is a great question. You must have been following me around, because I guess if I haven't seen people for like 6 to 12 months, they're like, your hair is white, man. And I'm like,
I saw you at Keeneland. That's what happened. I saw you on Bluegrass Day.
Yeah. I think somebody one time compared me to Benjamin Franklin. I'm like, well, he's on the $100 bill. You know, I got to be careful with this white mop, because if I go and I get.
Oh, you look great. I wouldn't mess with it at all.
If I get a little too trimmy with it. It kind of bobs up, and I look a little like Lord Farquaad. My kids are just busting my chops. You know, it's Shrek's over, Dad.
Oh,
so I don't know. I mean, you'll see a hat on my head, so it'll be and probably contrasting black. So, yeah, that's a funny question. Maybe you should do a poll. I'd probably be at the bottom.
That kind of stuff I love. So one of my favorite guests that we have on our podcast on the Horse Racing Happy Hour is Brian Nadeau. He does the track feed at sets the morning line Gulfstream Park. Great guy. And he has the best fade and soul patch in horse racing. And he works with Saffy Joseph Jr., who's the best man bun chest hair combination in horse racing. It is what it is. It just is.
Yeah. Well, look, here's the thing about life in general. If you don't laugh at yourself at the starting point, then you're wound a little too tight. And, I do it all the time. So that's funny. Yeah, and it is the people. It's the characters. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And just being on the backside this week, I've run into a bunch of people really that I haven't seen in a minute. You know, a few jocks agents, and ran into Florent Giroux after spending a little time with him up in Saratoga having some fun. I love you, Florent Giroux. He looks at me like I have two heads, maybe because my hair is gray. I don't know.
It might be the hair. Who knows? I don't have any, so that's why I bring it up, because I'm very jealous. You have more hair right now than I've had at all points of my life put together, so good for you.
It can turn to a mullet quick. You got to manage these things, Louis.
We're sponsored by Manscaped. I understand. It is what it is. Promo code horse racing. How about that? Brooke Smith with us. He's got the leader in the points. That used to mean something in the Kentucky Derby, and I think it still does. Outside of the top two, is there a horse that you look at and go, man, I think that guy's got a real shot in this Derby?
Good question. There's going to be one that's in that grouping that's going to be on the board. I mean, you just know it. You know, it'd be kind of cool to see a horse like Anna Marie in the mix with the local connections.
Yep.
But, you know, Ed Brad with Catching Freedom, clearly, you know, Just a Touch could jump up after the Bluegrass. Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to think who would, like, complete my...
Just a Touch reminds me of Mage last year, like that stage of development, doesn't
it? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, Chad likes domestic product.
He's tough, man.
For a while.
Yeah, he's tough.
And he made a good move. You can knock the Tampa Bay Derby, but gutsy horse, and has clearly, you know, had some seasoning. I don't know. I've thought about it a bit. Sentimentally, I'd probably try to pitch a horse like Anna Marie in there.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
Yeah, you know what? Sure.
The horse won the jockey club. And, again, if a horse like that even wins the Derby, you know, we'll look back. It might be a shock in the moment, but if you look back, you can say, oh, I can see that. You know how the Derby is.
Yeah, Anna Marie and West Saratoga both won preps at Churchill in the fall, right? And those are things that we usually actually don't see anymore, as they win as two-year-olds, and then they come back and actually qualify even for the Derby. We don't see that much anymore. And so, you know, that jockey club. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, I just hope that the race gives the horses that should be there the chance to be there. You know, I hope there's not some, you know, scenario or some, you know, any of them get taken out. You know, I want it to be a good, hopefully, you know, clearly just want all the horses to get around in good order. But, you know, the Derby's going to have the twists and turns. There's just no other way around it. But I'm hoping that, you know, like in Sierra Leone's case, there's something not unfortunate that happens that just, you know, doesn't give him his chance maybe to be a little closer, maybe to make the big turn and run, you know. Rubbing the rabbit foot.
All right, so speaking of rabbit feet, we will be at Pimlico for the Preakness with the show. We're going to make a deal right now on air, and so that it's in front of God and all these witnesses. Your horse wins the Derby. You do an interview with us in person at the Preakness. Sound good?
Oh, 100%.
Awesome.
And I'll leave it. I'll do whatever you want. If we win the Derby and we're at the Preakness, you know, I'll go bald like you. I'm not saying I'm going to do that. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this right now. If I knew that shaving this mop off would put him in the Preakness after winning the Derby, we're the Clippers.
I hear you. We're doing a Jimmy Seafood Preakness seminar the Friday night before Preakness. You should probably just come to that and crush cigars with us. It'd be great.
Yeah. No, I love this kind of stuff. It's
great.
Blast.
It's the best. It is.
And, again, if Sierra Leone runs a big race, you know, just doesn't get there. Maybe Fierceness or somebody just runs off with it. But, you know, he's a second or a third, but coming like, you know, like wild. You got to live with that. I mean, that's just horse racing. And, you know, then maybe you don't go to the Breeders. You go to the Belmont at Saratoga. I don't know. They'll tell the connection to people. Will tell me, the trainer and such. But he's a horse that I think, and I say this about everything in life, the best is yet to come, and I truly believe that about him. I really do. He's done great this week. He's gone to the gate a couple times and done it very well. He went this morning, and the report was great. So, you know, don't tell everybody that because I want the odds to stay as high as possible. just hope that that he has his chance and that some of these others do too, so that we can look back and go, wow, what a race, you know?
Well, the only thing I ever say to close interviews like this is safe trip next week. I hope he comes back well and that he has a long career that all of us get to watch, whether it's running or it's breeding and we get to meet his kids or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
But safe trip next week. And Brooke, really great to meet you via the radio. I wasn't kidding about Blind Squirrel on Tuesday if you want to make the trip.
Yeah. I'll text you.
We'll get you out there. We'll have a couple beers of Blind Squirrel Tuesday at 7 o'clock. He is Brooke Smith. He's part of the Rocket Ship folks, owners of Sierra Leone, going into the gate next Saturday, we hope. And so there you go. Brooke, thanks so much for being part of the show. Buddy. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks.
Right.
Yep.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you go, Brooke Smith. We got some new fans on the text line there. Texter, I know he's also eligible and really shouldn't have a shot, but sees the gray, gets in the field. It has a good performance. Not sure how many more derbies the coach has left. Obviously, he has Just Steel too, but I'm part of MRH. So selfishly, I want to see the gray. Oh, there you go. Oh, good. I love hearing these kinds of stories when local folks do have a horse that has a chance to get in to the derby itself, which would be fantastic. But, I think sees the gray is just actually outside of the cut line for things on Saturday, unfortunately. So, should be fun. And Zach, can you imagine? So Dan had talked about this when he was on the show. Like, if he played in a game, he would get nervous, but he'd be okay.
Sure.
But the horse racing thing is so out of your control. Like, you heard him. He's like, I have to trust the connections.
That's
can
right.
you imagine putting up all the money and you have to just trust the connections?
No. Not that amount
what
of money.
What a brutal sport, man. Reminder tonight, Soccer City at 6. NFL Draft at 7. We're going to call right now. His name is Jay Davis. He's presented by Lana Sports, LANASports.com. He is in Detroit. He is on the ground at the draft. We talk to him next here on Rabot & Co. ESPN 680, 105.7.
To Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, let's get back at it. Final segment here on a Thursday show. How about that? NFL draft day, of course, so we're going to head to Detroit and talk to Jay Davis in just a second here. Reminder, we will have the draft all weekend for you here on 680 105.7. If you are driving around, we will have some version of that. Louisville baseball hosting Clemson this weekend, 5:50 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch tomorrow, and then first pitch at 1 o'clock the rest of the weekend. All of that Sean Moth coverage over on 93.9 The Ville. We do bring in Jay Davis. He is at the NFL draft site. Jay, I saw all of the landmarks. Oh, I love the background noise. It's fantastic. I saw all the landmarks and different things, and I thought, man, that looks really awesome. Is it awesome there in Detroit? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's getting – when I first got down, to my office a couple hours ago, it was quiet, but then I, started walking closer to everything, and it's super busy, seeing, all the fans from everywhere. I talked with some Bills fans, some Bears fans, Patriots fans, just talking to a lot of people. This is going to be a lot of fun, and, a lot of people like the city from what I've heard so far.
Well, there you go. Jay Davis up there in Detroit at @JayDavis_1981 on Twitter. He's presented by Lana Sports, LANASports.com. ABA20 is his promo code. Get up there, get one of those red, white, and blue basketballs, some trading cards, whatever. What are fans saying about their trip up there? I think I'm wrong. I love the Radio City draft, but the moving it around thing seems to be working for the NFL.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people, just talking with people, I'm like, if it's your first draft, everybody I've talked to said, people coming in from out of town who said this is their first draft. And I said, why'd you pick Detroit?
Yeah.
People just like, a lot of it comes from seeing the city, and a couple of Lions home playoff games people have said, but, people like it, it's, they made things pretty easily workable this weekend. I mean, parking sucks, parked in my office and walked everywhere, but people, bars are filling up. I talked with a couple of Bills fans who were piled in champagne about an hour ago, so everybody's getting ready for a long day.
Love it. All right, Jay Davis up there for the NFL draft. I think I need to ask you, you know, if you have expectations. Our morning drive guy said he is certain of two picks. Williams first overall, and then Alt at 7 to the Titans. Are you privy to anything up there draft-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with Zach before we came on. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people don't think there's a lot of intrigue at all until, like, the fourth pick. I'm sure Caleb Williams is going number one. You know, I don't know what Washington's going to do at number two. Right. I'm pretty sure quarterbacks are going to go 2-3, but, you know, I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think, you know, Denver or Minnesota or the Giants, I don't think they need to trade up to take J.J. McCarthy. I think he'll be there, you know, at 6, you know, 11 or 12. But, yeah, you know, after the first couple of picks, there is a lot of intrigue.
Yeah, no, I agree. We've been talking, you know, kind of going through the different parts of the draft, the different position groups, that sort of thing. Jay Davis with us up there in Detroit. I think I just got to ask you about the NBA, because obviously that's what we usually talk to you about. The Heat even the series with the Celtics last night, 23 three-pointers to even that series. How much of that caught you off guard?
I mean, you know, the Boston only having two guys that played well is what caught me off guard. It wasn't Miami hitting the threes, because, you know, without Jimmy Butler, you know, that was kind of what their game plan was going to have to be. And that's essentially what they did in game two in Denver last year, if you remember. You know, they got hot for three, you know, played a bunch of different defenses in the second half that confused the Nuggets, and they did the same thing last night. And this is all about how, you know, Boston responds going forward, you know, because if they blow this, they got to blow that whole thing up.
Yeah. The other part of this, too, that I wanted to ask you about, Jay Davis, with us is – Is Miami the best run franchise in the league as far as culture and just expectations in the playoffs? Like, they just seem to show up regardless of their seed every year.
I mean, I think culture wise, you know, yeah, you know, because, you know, you go there and, you know, you get in shape all of a sudden, you get smarter as a basketball player, and, you know, they have easily the best coach in the game in Eric Spoelstra. You know, I'd be amazed to see where it'd be if he wasn't there. So that makes a big difference. You know, just they got blown out in game one, and then he made the adjustment that, you know, led them to a double digit. They won by double digits, and they were, I think they were like a 15-point underdog.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't happen. I think I saw a stat that that's the first time that's happened in like 30 years. So, yeah, you know, that's a great run program that they have.
It is unbelievable, frankly. If Spoelstra were a college coach, we talk about him like he was Coach K. I'm serious. I just, like, oh, he's got the culture, and it's the Duke way. It's the Heat way. They make them Heat men down there. I don't know, like, whatever they would be doing if it was college, we would be, I think, overreacting to him and those sorts of things. Anything else in it, maybe out west? Are the Suns done? I mean, is that group just not going to work?
That roster is not constructed good at all. And one of the things we're seeing now is depth. You know, a lot of people say you only need six or seven guys in the playoffs. And I agree with that when you get to, like, the conference finals and the finals. But, you know, you need to have more than three guys, you know, on your roster to advance, you know, past the first and second round. And, you know, Phoenix at this point doesn't have that. I know Nurkic has been getting a lot of rebounds and he's putting up good stats, but, you know, Minnesota's playing him off the floor. Grayson Allen gets hurt, not her down a guy. Even with Boston, you know, you see, you know, the three of their starters don't play well, and they don't get much from the three guys on their bench. So their depth, you know, an issue. But just Phoenix, the way that roster is constructed, is just really bad. And I didn't see them being down 2-0, but they've pretty much gotten smoked in both of these first two games. So I do think they're done.
More likely winner of their series, the Pacers or the Heat?
Indiana. If Giannis doesn't come back, Indiana can win that series for sure, just because, you know, they finally – I don't know what happened in that first game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Okay.
That second game they got back in Indiana, you know, running up and down, and Pascal Siakam, you know, played a hell of a game for them. So, you know, if they could just remember who they are, I think, you know, the Pacers – I know they had, before the playoffs started, they hadn't played since early January. You know, the first game of the playoffs last weekend was the first game Doc coached against the Pacers this year. But, you know, if Indiana can get back in that style, they played the first, you know, 10, 11 weeks of the season. I think they can win this in six.
Can the Mavericks play enough defense to win three of the next five against the Clippers?
Yeah, I mean, they played great defense on what was Tuesday night. You know, that was like a real-life playoff game with the 96-93 final. And, you know, Luka didn't play. He didn't shoot that great, but he ended up hitting some big shots and so did Kyrie. So I think, you know, they could play enough defense to beat the Clippers.
Yeah, it's obvious they can score, but winning games 96-93 was not on my bingo card for the Mavs in the playoffs. Do you make much of the games being lower scoring than they were in the regular season, or guys just locking down on defense?
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it because it sounds like a Twitter thing, but playoff basketball at this point, you know, with the way everything's gone the last decade or so, is real basketball. You know, everybody's out there. Everybody's, you know, trying really hard on both ends of the floor. And, you know, having that versatility on both ends of the floor is very, very important. Just being in Minnesota and, you know, Miami last night. So, yeah, you know, just the teams ratchet up the intensity and the effort in the playoffs. And, you know, it feels like, you know, you think about, what was it? I think there was a week or so where there was like a 70-point game, a 60-point game, a couple 50-point games. And I think the high for the playoffs right now is like, I think it might be Dame who had 35, right. And that was just in a half. So,
that's right.
You know, you're seeing things get ratcheted up in a way, you know, that you didn't during the regular season.
I'll get you out of here on this. When people watch on TV tonight, what should they be seeing, and what will they be seeing there in Detroit? What's the stage look like?
The stage is almost like this half a tire. You know, it's a huge theater. It's coming up. I'm actually walking toward the backside of it right now. There's hundreds of seats in there. But what people should be looking at is, like, you know, behind it, it's in this park campus market that we have right downtown. In the summer, they turn it into a beach. In the winter, you know, there's ice skating there.
Yeah.
So there's just going to be, you know, so many people. Like I said, a couple hours ago, it was dead down here. Now it's super hype. Everybody's getting hype. I'm looking at a bunch of Andrew Luck jerseys, and you know, I've seen a lot of people, you know, a lot of Lions fans already spent money on those new jerseys because everybody's wearing all three colorways. So it's just everybody's just having a lot of fun.
Well, there you go. He's Jay Davis. He's at the NFL draft. Jay, we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thanks, Luke.
Thanks, man. There you go, Jay Davis, up there in Detroit, campus. Martius. How about that? Downtown Detroit. Should be a cool scene tonight for the NFL draft. Like I said, where Louis was wrong. I think I was wrong about this. Moving it around seems to be working, and you get towns like Detroit that are very much ready for it. You can hang up on Jay there, get him off the line, let him get on with his day as well. All right, so final predictions here, Zach. Let's try to do the top 10. You ready? Can you hear me? You're freaking me out. Okay. Oh, there we go. There's Jay. Go ahead and let Jay. There we go. All right. Let's try to predict the top 10 in the NFL draft. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Number one overall, the Bears are on the clock. Go.
Caleb Williams.
Okay. What do you like about Caleb Williams' game?
What do I like about it?
Yes.
Caleb Williams is a very good downfield thrower. He's just the most consistent quarterback in this draft. He can move around a little bit. Very solid all around. Probably would have been the number one pick last year. I would have picked C.J. Stroud over him, but a lot of people would have picked Caleb Williams. He's the number one pick in this draft, no doubt.
All right. Caleb Williams at number one. Who goes number two to the Commanders? I honestly, if they were a different franchise, I think they would be smart to trade out of this spot.
I would think
so. But they're the Commander, so they won't do it.
They won't.
I'm going to go ahead and say Jaden Daniels. Do you agree?
I do. I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I think the top two are pretty much locks.
All right, so Daniels at two. Patriots third. Do you think J.J. McCarthy goes third, or do they stick with Drake May?
I think they stick with Drake May.
I agree with you. We'll go with May third. Now we have fun. Fourth pick overall. To the Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray already entrenched as their quarterback / Call of Duty expert. What do you think they end up doing here with the fourth overall pick, Zach Cantrell?
I think they're going to pick Marvin Harrison Jr. I think they're going to get the best prospect in this draft. The Cardinals are badly in need of a wide receiver, and they're getting the best receiver prospect since Calvin Johnson. So I think they take Marv.
L.A. Chargers at fifth. New coach, new regime, have just paid their quarterback a ton of money. Aaron Donald was a Ram, so I don't know why I'm bringing him up, but the Chargers have lots of needs. I apologize for that. They're picking, what, 11th, I think, the Rams. They're further down than that. What am I saying? They made the playoffs. What do you think the Chargers do at five?
I think they trade the pick to the Minnesota Vikings because I think Minnesota is desperately in need of a quarterback. I think they will trade the 11th pick, the 23rd pick. They will move up to fifth, and they will take J.J. McCarthy. I wouldn't have, but they probably will.
That's a tough one. All right. Sixth overall are the Giants. If your scenario is correct, boy, they've got the pick of a lot of nice players here.
Yes, they do.
Do they go wide receiver to help Danny Dimes?
I think they do. I think they go Malik Nabers.
Okay, Nabers goes here. All right. Seventh pick overall, does Alt just go?
Yes.
Okay.
If Joe Alt makes it to seven, the Titans should absolutely grab him.
Should the Giants grab him?
They should.
Okay.
But I don't think they will.
All right. I agree, actually. I think they should get him and make him their left tackle for 10 years.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because the thing about the Giants, you can talk about Daniel Jones and how he's been inconsistent. He's never had a good offensive line.
Long shot coming down to the text line. Eighth race at Keeneland today. Look for Janie Creed. Long shot there. Appreciate our textures always with the horse racing takes. No matter what time of day. Eighth pick goes to Atlanta and the Falcons. Kirk Cousins has entered the building.
Yes, he has.
What do they do?
Roma Dunze, wide receiver, Washington.
Holy cow, man. That's insane.
He's really good.
We're at zero defensive players.
Uh-huh.
We're eight in. And I don't think any of this is out of the realm of possibility. Nope. None of it. All right, ninth pick is the Bears again. Do they stay in this spot?
Yes.
I think they do, too.
Olufoshanu, tackle, Penn State. Caleb Williams has given him a ringing endorsement. They played together in high school. That's who he wants. He needs a lineman.
Okay. And then 10th overall is the Jets. How do they screw it up?
Dallas Turner, linebacker, Alabama.
Oh, no, he's good. Never mind.
He's very good.
He's actually good.
It's either going to be him or Brock Bowers. I think they're going to go with Dallas Turner.
Percent chance Brock Bowers drops out of the top 10.
Well, I have him dropping out of the top 10, so.
Over 50, then?
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. All right.
Well. If they pick Brock Bowers 10, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
I think it's one of those two guys.
Got it. Okay. All right.
So we'll be very wrong tomorrow.
Which ones do you feel the most solid about? Williams, number one.
Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels, okay.
For sure.
Okay.
And I'm pretty confident Marvin Harrison's going to the Cardinals.
Going fourth, okay. All right, well, there you go.
I'm not confident in the Patriots. Like, I think they're going to pick Drake May, but if they pick J.J. McCarthy, would it be the biggest surprise ever? No. Might be a screw-up, but it wouldn't be a surprise.
They might get a good offer, too, for the third spot.
Oh, I think they probably will. I think Minnesota will be up there. I think the Giants might move up.
The Giants are really the wild
card. I don't think they're sold on Daniel Jones. I think they have buyer's remorse. Giving him that contract, and they let Saquon go to the Eagles.
The other part of that is, aren't they just going to draft another version of Danny Dimes if they get Drake May or something, or J.J. McCarthy?
No, that's pretty much right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't think the Giants should go quarterback, but I think it's possible.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Do you like that I got Jerry Tipton's book?
I do.
And the guy who replaced Jerry Tipton didn't get the book?
Yeah, I can't believe Ben didn't have the Jerry Tipton book. You asked him an uncomfortable question that wasn't supposed to be an uncomfortable question.
I texted him about it yesterday. That's why I brought it up, because it's funny to me. I texted him and Issel, and I'm like, does this make me more BBN than Ben?
BBN Louie.
BB Lou.
BB Lou.
Could Brock Bowers be the Will Levis of this draft? Oh,
no,
man.
No.
With the injury history?
If Brock Bowers goes out of the top 10, it's not going to be much further than that. It's going to be like 12, 13.
What's a shocking number for Brock Bowers? Outside the top 20?
Yeah. Okay. I'd be stunned if he goes outside the top 20.
Where does Penix go? All right, you know, let's do it a different way. Who goes first, Knicks or Penix? I'm going to go Knicks.
I think Knicks goes first. I would pick Penix first, but I think Knicks goes first.
I think he goes first as well. Who goes first, Spencer Rattler or Isaac Grendo?
Rattler.
Just because he's a QB?
Yeah. That won't be till tomorrow, though.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And we can react to the first round of the draft, of course, tomorrow. We will also kind of wrap up the Derby draft tomorrow, get you ready for the stakes. Look, man, Saturday night, opening night at Churchill Downs, back to my backyard, thank God. And so we'll be talking about the Roxolana and all those sorts of things.
You have your snake draft tonight, don't you?
We have the snake draft at 4 o'clock today. If you want to check that out at Horse Happy Hour, Horse Racing Happy Hour, wherever you get those podcasts. Travis Stone, Caitlin Free, Steve Kornacki should be a fun group of folks doing the picks there. And, of course, Gandolfo will be your host on that episode. I'm Louis Rabeau, hanging out with Zach Cantrell. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We hope that you are as well. I don't have any guests definitely lined up for tomorrow, but do not be surprised, Zach, if you get a text at some point during the day.
If I get a text from you, it's either a guest or Shane Gillis.
Yeah. Or some ridiculous tweet, right? Those are essentially the three things Zach gets from Louis Rabeau. So there you go. I am Louis Rabeau at Radio Louis. On Twitter, you can find our station at ESPN 680, ESPNLouisville.com, your smart speaker, your phone, your car, however you hung out with us today. Consider doing it again tomorrow. We're back at 10. We hope you are, too. Have a great day, everybody.
We'll be right back. care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.